It's Thursday, June 6th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. Show number 864, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our new customers get a 35% off using promo code 35OFF1. 35OFF1 plus our $249.com deal is still available by using the promo code GEEK249. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Yes, we were off the first day of the week, but we'll talk about that in a second. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Dallas, Texas, via the Geek News Central HD mobile broadcast studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, and kind of a traditional open to the show. It's been an absolutely crazy week here in Texas, so I have a lot to share with you tonight about what's been going on, and looking forward to getting back to Honolulu. But I guess the very first thing, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Of course, if you're watching up on the live stream, we're streaming again tonight. Everything seems to work. The studio made it to Texas just fine as normal. So we're up tonight on our Amazon Flash Media server. Of course, we're recording both audio and video for those of you that are catching this post live. But I want to encourage you all to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And really, when you're over there, it's a piece of cake for you to let's see if I can do the switcheroo here. Little rusty because having not been using the studio for it, let's see if we can make the flip here. There we go. With one additional click. If you go over to geeknewscentral.com and check out the website, you'll find information on the website on how to subscribe to the show, how to get signed up for our newsletter. Really, that's important because I'm going to deliver everything I'm going to cover tonight. In the not only is it going to be at GNC, GNCshownotes.com, but it's also going to be delivered right to the folks that are subscribed to the newsletter. So make sure you do so. Get subscribed and subscribe via RSS feed, via iTunes, whichever way tickles your fancy, and that way you'll never miss a single episode. Don't forget, we've got lots of great articles being written by our great staff, our great writing team at Geek News Central as well. So there's lots of content on the website every single day. So definitely come over to the website at geeknewscentral.com and check us out. A little rusty here at flipping the switches, having been away from using the mobile system for a little while. It can be a little tricky here to get back in the motion and make things run smooth. But just a single show, then we'll be back in Hawaii next week. And I think I'm going to be home through probably the end of the month. And I'm scheduled to head out to Michigan for a week, but we may have a guest host during those two shows. We're going to talk about that here in the next couple of weeks. But got into Dallas on Sunday. Everything came. I basically arrived on time, got in at noon, plenty of time to get in a hotel, got the studio set up, and then Monday, meeting with my client, things really kind of just got sideways, and the client meetings were fine, but they wanted to go to dinner and blah, 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 and the next thing I know, it's 10:30 in the evening on Monday night, and really no time to do a show. You guys know that I really pride myself on being able to put a show out when I'm traveling, and I apologize for not having a show Monday night, but I just ran out of time, out of gas, got back to the hotel and face planted. So hopefully you guys will allow me that discretion. and not having a show Monday night. But they got a great show lined up for you tonight, so thanks for being here. And again, thanks for staying subscribed. And you can also watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, and Google TV. And don't forget, you can reach me a multitude of ways. You can reach me on Twitter. That's a piece of cake by hitting me at Geek News on Twitter. The email address is geeknews@gmail.com. You can always email me. And, of course, our hotline is available at 619-342-7365 as well. But definitely reach out if you need to, and or if you have comments about the show. We're not going to run any contests this show. We'll get the contest rolling once we get back to Hawaii, and we'll have something good for you when we get started back in the studio in Honolulu. So I've been working on a major deal for a number of months, and I'm just this close. They've said they've signed. We are waiting for the delivery of the paperwork. Once we get the paperwork, I can make the announcement on this major deal we've been working on. And I'm really excited to kind of share that with you guys a little bit. But it's one of those things where you put a lot of time and effort in. And when a deal is at the cusp, you know, you almost are afraid to even think about it because you can't count your chickens before they hatch, you know, because things can go sideways in a New York minute. But we're really, really close. And I'm excited about being able to give you guys a pretty big announcement on what we've been working on. Sunday, we're going to have because I'm traveling on Saturday going back to Honolulu, so we're going to have the new media show on Sunday. And Rob's got a great guest lined up for me. I apologize, I don't have in my show notes tonight who it is, but I know it's a lady that works within the actual web space and working on an international trade association, so we'll have her on. And it's all about the web and streaming media and podcasting. So look forward to bringing you guys the show on Sunday. We'll start at 9 a.m. Pacific, and should be a great show. So that's really all I have for announcements today. Do want to thank our longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central for being part, really taking care of the Ohana and providing great deals for you. And we've got a new deal. Now, this is a little bit different than our last month's deal. This is a new deal from GoDaddy. It's going to give you 35. Now, this is for new customers. If you've never purchased a domain, if you've never established an account over at GoDaddy, this is 35% off for a new customer. And basically, this is a one-time use code. So if you're going to buy a bunch of products and set up an account on GoDaddy, this is what you're going to use. You're going to use the promo code 35OFF1, and that code's going to give you 35% off your total order. So make sure you load everything up there, your .coms, your hosting accounts, any other, all the stuff that you're going to buy, and use the code on checkout, and you're going to get a whopping 35% off for new customers. So this is a great deal for someone that has not yet established an account at GoDaddy. You're going to be able to save a lot of money. I did get the numbers in for last month from GoDaddy. I want to thank all of you for supporting them. You guys went crazy on the $2.49.com deal, so they're bringing it back. It's been extended, so you'll be able to get one new .com for $2.49 by using the code GEEK249. So definitely get hooked up there, and if you're looking for a domain or you need picking onesie twosies out from time to time, I got a couple over the month by just buying one, coming back a couple of days later, picking up another one for $2.49. So fantastic deal, and of course you'll definitely want to get over to GoDaddy to check this out and check out all their specials. And let's see if I can bring this up on the right screen so you can see the full color of the website. So, when you get over there, they've got the website builders, they've got all their different products and services, hosting, storage, web design, email, SSL and security products, auctions. That's where I buy a lot of domains in their auction service. Of course, the hosting and servers is the big part of this, where you have dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts on all pricing ranges, and of course all the great domains. My sister was talking with her on the phone yesterday. Actually, she called me on Tuesday on my birthday, and she, called to wish me happy birthday and so forth. And we're talking about a business that she's getting ready to start, and I spent some time with her on talking about strategies on buying .coms. And while I won't go into the business, because I'm trying to make sure she gets a head start, I said, if you're going into a certain area, you're going to want to look in for those domain names for those specific areas, city, state, abbreviations, all the iterations that the business is going to have. If you've got 10 categories of products and services, you're going to want to get 10 different domains. And we went into this whole thing. So, buying .coms is a science. I don't consider myself to be an expert, but when I have a brainstorm, oftentimes I'll go over and pick up a .com that I might not ever do anything with. But it's something maybe I've heard on TV, or I've heard something. I said, that could be a trend. Could that be big? It's just like several of the domains I bought podcasting related. I did that on speculation. Some of those have paid off. Some of them haven't. That's what you do when you're playing around. And I kind of saw the .com market where you're buying domains. And I paid big money for domains in the past, and it's paid off as well. So we're just talking about those of you, though, that are getting ready to start a website. If you're going to if you're starting a website, don't forget, if you pick up the .com, it's probably advisable by the .net, the .biz, the .org, the .co to go along with those, so that basically squatters don't come in. If you have a very successful business, someone's going to try to buy up the domains around your business, and you want to kind of close that loop. And, the cost of domains are real low these days. If you're looking at renewal costs, it's the cost of a latte at Starbucks. So, you can get the great discount on the initial buy, but the renewals is really inexpensive. And spread your buys out over time so that in that year annual renewal, you don't get whacked with where you have to do 10 domains at once and you're stuck with an $80 bill or something like that. Just do them every couple of months if that's the way you want to spread it out, so you lessen the pain when it comes to renewal. So anyway, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Definitely check them out at GoDaddy.com and use my promo codes. You can find all of them at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy, GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. All right, let's go ahead and get right into the content tonight. We've got a pretty large stack for you, and really we're going to start out with the hot item of the day. Man, this is all over the news. We had the TV on here in the hotel room a little while, but the U.S. confirms Verizon phone records collection, and the subtitle of this BBC article says the U.S. National Security Agency, NSA, is collecting the telephone records of tens of millions of Americans, U.S. officials have confirmed. Now, when I hear this, it sends chills down my spine that, and apparently this has been going on for a while. It was revealed today that for at least the past 7 years, the National Security Agency has been collecting by court order tens of millions of email or telephone records. So every time, if you're on a Verizon phone, or probably any carrier, because it just came out about Verizon only, so it's probably every carrier in existence, every telephone operator, if you pick up the phone and you dial someone in a foreign country, you dial your neighbor, you dial a friend, whoever it may be, that information, including location data, length of call, is all being provided via a big data dump to the federal agency there. So this is incredible. Now, the first newspaper to report this was The Guardian in the UK. Why was it a UK newspaper that broke this? Why wasn't this an American company that news? And they actually have the court document, and I saw some labeling on the document that was basically put up on one of the U.S. national news sites that made my eyeballs get about this big, because someone is major violation of their security agreement by having release this document to the news company. I mean, like, go to jail forever type of trouble. So I'm sure there's going to be a big investigation into actually who leaked the document. But at the second time, second part of this, it should make all of us sit back and go a little bit, Over in Ars, it's being reported that the White House says that spying on U.S. citizens is a critical tool for fighting terrorism. Now, I think we all agree we don't want terrorists running amok in our country, and we don't want, you know, anywhere. But at the same point, we have a constitutional rights to, you know, basically protecting our rights from search and seizure and privacy. And this is incredible. So, you know, with the Guardian uncovering and publishing this court order from the secret court, this is amazing, because this court order doesn't target only suspected terrorists. The court order issued by the Foreign Intelligence Service Court forces Ryzen to give the government all call detail records of the telephone metadata, and who knows how they're using this. But again, there's some reports going on that this has been going on since at least 2007. So, not just the current administration, but the previous administration as well. So, I don't know. It just makes you go. I understand their reasoning for wanting to do it, but at the same point, it just goes to show you that we have no rights. No rights to privacy. Our constitutional protections have completely been violated. You know, they want to look at my phone records, knock themselves out. You know, it's all good and well. But at the same point, it's just the simple principle of it, and should make all of us sit back and go, quite a little bit. I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on this. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Now, as you can imagine, Verizon is on the offense behind the scenes, and officially the telecom has no comment about turning over millions of customer call logs to the U.S. government. But behind the scenes, the company is vetting a request from senior Capitol Hill aides and others asking the administration for political cover and relying on its lawyers to craft the company's message. The Verizon circulated a company memo from General Counsel Randy Milch Thursday morning that laid out its position, including that it would be legally obligated to respond to government requests like these and that it takes steps to protect customers' private information. This memo went out internally and then was sent to consultants to use as talking points. Basically, I can almost guarantee you that AT&T and everyone else are doing the same thing. If Verizon's being required to, there's no doubt in my mind that isn't the case. Now, Verizon has an enormous lobbying force, with more than 30 firms reporting lobbying activities in 2013. The company spent $3.6 million on lobbying during the first quarter of this year. And so there's going to be some hearings on this, obviously, but this is just boom, boom, boom on the current administration, showing all kinds of craziness going on. You know, you've got the newspaper reporter stuff, you've got the IRS stuff. You know, the IRS, that alone is just, like, to me, is incredible. And of course, we haven't heard the full story on that, and we haven't heard anything more about the reporters being spied on. But here it is that we are not exempt either. They're getting our call records. So, and I'm sure they're probably just running these things through a major database and looking for hits. And then when they find a hit on something, they probably go dig around and pull it back. Now, AT&T, there's been some folks saying, hey, AT&T, you know, they have the ability to collect all this data as well, but no real implication of AT&T at this point. But I think anyone reasonable could probably assume that it's all the telecommunication firms. But where does it stop there? Okay, so they're getting the phones, they're asking all kinds of personal information from the IRS that they shouldn't be, they're spying on reporters, Is it email? Is email next? Are they looking at our email? Are they looking at who we're sending email to from, and all that? So, you know, really, where does it end? How much through the Patriot Act have they been able to just go in and dig in? It's a pretty remarkable revelation, to be honest with you. But love to hear what you guys think. And definitely drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Now, with this revelation that the NSA has been collecting phone call data, it's a good time to think about new ways to secure data communications. There's a good article over on Forbes talking about Purdue University having developed a fascinating type of security that has the potential to be implemented on a large scale. They built a temporal cloak. I'm not even going to go into the full details of this. It's true. It sounds like Star Wars type stuff, but they've developed a temporal cloak to mask. What did we hear before? We heard quantum mechanics being used by folks out of Los Alamos and all kinds of other stuff. And it just goes, some of this stuff starts building up this pile of information like, wow. On top of that, the feds are saying that they can search your laptop at the border, but won't say why. You guys remember, under the Fourth Amendment, the United States Constitution, Americans are generally protected from unreasonable search and seizure by government agents, but we generally have less privacy at the border, usually when entering the United States from abroad. At present, border agents do not have to provide a warrant or even have reasonable suspicion to search your laptop. They essentially just need a hunch. For some time now, civil liberty groups have been pressing for change that policy. And, of course, we know back in February 2013, the Office for Civil Rights and the Civil Liberties and Department of Homeland Security released an executive summary of its finding to justify warrantless border searches of laptops. Now, on Wednesday, though, through a response of the Freedom of Information Act filed by the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, the DHS released its complete December 2011 Civil Rights Civil Liberties Impact Assessment, and the assessment first counters by noting the issue is an important one, even though it affects only a very small proportion of the many millions of travelers who enter the United States each month. Basically, the information below summarizes the relevant statistics as it shows only a few hundred people each month are subjected to any kind of electronic device search, which vary in their comprehensiveness, and of that number, only a small minority have had their electronic devices detained for any length of time. So according to the government's figures, there were 302 travelers subjected to electronic device searches in 2009, 383 in 2010. So it raises the question, what is the government constitutionally based reasoning for such searches? And basically, they don't have a reason, just say a hunch. So they say they don't have to give a reason, just have a hunch. So I know, having traveled to Japan and other places, having been in the military before, we were told to make sure your laptops are free of adult materials. If the Japanese detect that on it, they'll seize your laptop because of the different pornography rules. It's just something that was always briefed as we were heading to Japan. So other countries have the ability to search and seize your electronics as well. So it's not just the United States. So just be aware when you go out of the country, whatever you have on your laptop would be subject to search and seizure if the government had, or customs agent or whoever is the one that's involved in this, has a hunch that you have something on your laptop that needs to be, for say, reviewed. And I'm sure they probably have a hit list or something like that where people come in, they flag them, and then they grab them. So hopefully you never end up in that situation. But if you do, there's nothing you can do about it. A wealthy California town has approved license plate readers along municipal borders. Piedmont, California is going to spend $678,000 to acquire and install 39 cameras at 15 locations. This was just the day before Iowa City voted to ban the use of red light cameras, drones, and license plate readers. Another, of course, you know, here's a difference. You got people in Iowa, you know, we don't want people looking at, people coming and going and license plate readers, and yet in California, they say, oh, we want to spy on people coming in and out of our town. So this new technology will scan every car that drives in and out of the city, instantly checking them against a hot list of wanted vehicles, and I'm sure probably a bunch of other criteria. And so anyway, as you're driving into Piedmont, California in the near future, your car license plate will be scanned. Switching off some of this more depressing news, a top U.S. patent judge pens an anti-troll op-ed in the New York Times. And this judge indicates that he may not support software patenting, but he clearly has an idea that a certain type of patent holder is doing damage to the economy. In the op-ed, co-written with two law professors, Rader notes that trolls have slowed the development of new products and increased costs for businesses and consumers. He continued to describe the trolls' tactical advantages. He says trolls, in fact, filed the majority of the roughly 4,700 patent suits in 2012, and many of those were against small companies and startups that often cannot afford to fight back. The problem stems from the fact that in our judicial system, trolls have an important strategic advantage over their adversaries. They don't make anything. So in a patent lawsuit, they have far fewer documents to produce, fewer witnesses, and a much smaller legal bill than a company that makes and sells something. So trolls, moreover, often use lawyers to represent them on a contingent fee based, and allowing trolls to defer significant legal costs that manufacturers who generally must pay high court fees cannot. With huge advantages in cost and risk, the trolls can afford to file a patent infringement in lawsuits that have just a slim chance of success. When they lose a case, after all, they're typically out little more than their own court filing fees. Defendants, on the other hand, have much more to lose from a protracted legal fight, and so they often end up settling. So he's calling on judges to use their power. So it's kind of an interesting op-ed by this sitting judge that he would write this. Moving on here, hacker publishes alleged zero-day exploit for Plesk. So if you have a server that's running Plesk, I would recommend that you would update it. Plesk has come out and said, no, there's not an issue, but the particular hacker can test that. So just be aware that there might be a zero-day security issue with Plesk. And for those of you that know what I'm talking about, the folks that are running a dedicated server with Plesk have to maintain their own Plesk builds. And Plesk is a management tool that basically helps people manage their .coms around their websites and the mail and a variety of other things that it does. It's a pretty powerful tool. And a lot of people use Plesk as their back end to manage some of the administrative stuff that goes on with servers. FBI and Microsoft have taken down a $500 million theft botnet. This is pretty cool. They've broken up a huge network of hijacked home computers responsible for stealing more than $500 million from bank accounts. The Citadel network had remotely installed a keylogging program in about 5 million machines to steal data. About 1,000 of the 1,400 or so networks that made up Citadel botnet are believed to have been shut down. Coordinated action in 80 countries by police force, tech firms, and banking bodies helped disrupt the network. This is a big one. The cyber criminals behind this cashed in by using login and password details on online bank accounts stolen from compromised computers. The method was to steal cash from a huge number of banks, including American Express, Bank of America, PayPal, HSBC, Royal Bank of Canada, and Wells Fargo. So this was big, but they were able to shut this down and impact $500 million stolen out of bank accounts and PayPal accounts. Pretty incredible. Australia set a brand new record, and it's not necessarily a good one. They set an over-blocking record. They aimed to take down one site, but they took down 250,000. We know overblocking is not a problem. Over 2 years ago, we know that the Homeland Security took down 84,000 innocent websites at a single stroke of the pen. But basically, the Australian Securities and Investment Commission censored, basically were able to block one particular site by restricting access to 250,000 others. How did they figure out that there was 250,000 sites that were basically participating in some sort of scam? That's incredible. 250,000. They shut down 250,000 sites. I'm sure there wasn't any there that was mistaken. Sites that got took down that weren't supposed to. Love to hear from our Australian listeners what this impact and what kind of news that's made down under on from a local standpoint. If you hear people that have had their sites taken down involuntarily that were innocent. All right, Curiosity has reached a turning point, sets off on a journey of a lifetime to Mount Sharp. After spending 6 months roving around its landing site on Mars, NASA Curiosity rover is finally preparing to set off on an epic journey towards its final destination, Mount Sharp. Once Curiosity sets off on that final leg of its primary mission, driving for months to reach the base of Mount Sharp, there'll be no turning back. Not that I expect that they would. So Curiosity is running good. We know that there was an event where they had some computer issues. That's been fixed. They were in a no-com situation because of Earth-Mars alignment for a few months. But they're ready to rock and roll. And, of course, the rat event. We know that there was a supposed picture of a rat. Ha, ha, ha. But Curiosity will now start its 5.5-kilometer trek to the 18,000-foot mountain that rises from the Gale Crater. And so basically, Curiosity landed in the 96-mile crater 10 months ago, and the foot of Mount Sharp has always been Curiosity's primary target. And NASA wants to test out all rover's instruments and did some local, basic work, but now the true mission starts. I think the foot of Mount Sharp will be interesting because of sediment and rock there has many different layers, which will give them insight into Mars. So that is on tap, and we look forward to hearing how Curiosity does on its 5 kilometer trek to the base of the mountain. Over on ExtremeTech.com, new sulfur-based battery is safer, cheaper, more powerful than lithium ion. And boy, that should just make all of our ears perk up a little bit. But scientists at the Department of Energy's Oak Ridge National Laboratory have struck the battery motherlode. They've created an all-solid lithium sulfur battery that is cheaper, less flammable, and has 4 times the energy density of conventional lithium ion batteries. Beyond the obvious gains here, this could really play a key role in electric vehicles, airplane batteries, and so forth. This is good. They've had to overcome some major challenges here, but they are going to submit a patent on their finding. But because it is a U.S. government-owned agency, of course, Department of Energy owns the Oak Ridge National Labs. This will make its way into industry at some point here, and the U.S. government will obviously benefit from that, from licensing of patents and so forth. But this is huge. Now, it's still a demonstration stage, but the team is, as I said, filed for patent, and we'll see where this goes. But they say 5-time improvement in chemical battery within 5 years is realistic in this case. They're projecting out of Oak Ridge. So that's pretty exciting stuff here. All right, Redbox. Yes, Redbox is coming to Roku this summer. So if you are a Roku user and a Redbox, basically picking up movies at Redbox, you're going to have one additional channel here soon, 751 channels. So that's pretty incredible. 8,000 titles on Redbox Instant. So some competition here for definitely some competition here for Netflix, which is good. Moving on here a little bit. And this is a little bit deeper than I would normally go into, but we've all heard about this high-volume trading that computers do in the stock market. Apparently, the high-volume trading robots is on a decline, and there's a pretty good article over on Bloomberg Businessweek. So any of you that do any stock stuff or are interested in this, this is kind of a curious read. And but the numbers are down. They're relying on humans more than the, well, not more, but they're relying on the computers less. Another article run Brenda, excuse me, Bloomberg Businessweek is an update from Prenda. So there is some new evidence out, and this is all, again, within this article. They're asking who put the porn on BitTorrent that Prenda was basically going after people with. And it appears that the Prenda folks themselves, allegedly, and again, this is in the article, may have been, or some associates had been putting up the porn files on BitTorrent in order to entice people to grab them by peer-to-peer and then going after them. So a little baiting going on. And so there's been some forensics done here. And basically they're saying that this is equivalent of jumping in front of a car to collect a settlement, true ambulance chasing. And the legal implications of suing someone over material that you yourself has uploaded have not been clearly defined. And so this is kind of a curious move here. But they have a username, and they're trying to do a little reverse forensics and getting some IP data off that and trying to tie it back to some folks there. But pretty compelling stuff over on Bloomberg Businessweek. If you're using your ATM card, hey, just be careful. Bank card thefts are soaring on ATMs. People are getting people that are shadowing them, coming up close, or walking up quietly behind you, looking over your shoulder, getting your PIN numbers. Apparently in the UK, this has become an epidemic, and it's not good. So this is known as shoulder surfers. I always take a look around when I'm grabbing some cash out of the ATM. If I'm concerned that there's too many people around, I'll shield it with my hand when I put my number in, and it's advisable for you to do so as well. Hey, Ariane today launched its fourth ATV cargo spacecraft. The Ariane 5 launched the fourth in a series of European cargo spacecraft bound for the International Space Station. The Ariane 5 ES lifted off on schedule and placed the ATV-4 into low Earth orbits, carrying carried 6,600 kilograms of food, water, propellant, and other cargo. So the ATV is scheduled to dock with the station on June 15th, and spacecraft is next to last in a series of cargo spacecraft provided by ESA as part of its commitment to support ISS operations. So it looks like some of our heavy lifting is going to be turned over to the commercial folks after this. Hey, I want to let you guys know that we're starting to do a TPN Weekly again. And if you haven't been over to Tech Podcast recently, consider doing so. Go over to Tech Podcast, click on the blog link. So each week there is a, we're basically highlighting one show. And you'll get a sampling of a podcast. So Tech Talk Tonight was the most recent show that put up on June 3rd. So get subscribed and check out their basically the smorgasbord of shows. I think you guys will like it and give you a sampling of new shows to check out. And again, over techpodcast.com, just click on the blog link to find the information. As well, don't forget about Gadget Professor. The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain. You can find that at thegadgetprofessor.com. And, of course, you've got Langley doing Robot Underpants as well. Geek News Central, get subscribed to their shows. All right, a lot of discussion here. We're fast approaching Google Reader X date. And matter of fact, when I logged into Google Reader tonight, it reminded me, hey, your days are numbered. And I'm going to use it right up to the end. Feedly has not yet quit pulling from Google Reader, so I don't know when the switch is going to be made. I'm a little bit nervous, but there's an article on Wired saying why Google Reader really got the axe. And it basically, Google's making assumptions on how we consume news. And they said, well, you people are consuming news different now. They're not using readers. They're using Google Plus or Google One, or they're using Facebook, or they're using Twitter. I don't believe that. Maybe I'm in the minority here, but they're saying as a culture we've moved into a realm where the consumption of news is a near constant process. Well, that's okay, but it's, you know, the primary customer of this, I think, has been folks like me that are digging for news articles, and maybe that's why they want to get rid of it. But basically, users with smartphones and tablets are consuming news in bits and bytes throughout the course of the day, replacing the old standard behavior of news consumption over breakfast along with a leisurely read at the end of the day. I'm too busy during the day to read the news. I may catch one or two things, but I'm not consuming news unless it's a big, big, big event on a daily event. But Dave Weiner chimes in over at scripting.com. He says, let's not repeat the Google Reader mistake. And he says, we're getting ready to do the blogging part of our software at Small Picture. We've done a review of the evolution of my own blog, Scripting News, over the years. It was good to go over it because it became clear that as Google Reader came to dominate in feed reading, it forced my blog and presumably many others to conform to its limits. Features were removed from my blog because they confused Google Reader, and when we tried to reach out to them, the answer was that they didn't have enough people on their team to listen. So there, he's talking about we have a chance here to bring some new features to blogs and so forth. And so we'll see what happens here. And he says, if I do replace Feed Reader with another dominant feeder, he says his product will produce full fidelity RSS that gives us and our users a chance to be fully creative. And I'm looking forward to expansion of the RSS protocol. I think this is fantastic. So we'll see where this goes. But, you know, Dave is one of the the main guys that was behind starting podcasting, whether people want to give him credit or not. And if Dave thinks he can revitalize RSS and make it more viable, and no one, anyone can, he can do it. Remember the CEO that left HP, Ray Lane? Apparently he owes the feds a $100 million tax bill. And so he basically has got a dispute with the IRS over some tax practices. And he said that the IRS said that he was participating in a sham tax shelter, generating improperly claimed losses of $251 million to offset income. So I don't know how much this guy made, but he's going to have to write a check to the IRS for $100 million. Hey, heard about that? The lottery winner was a woman, 84-year-old woman out of it was, matter of fact, it was Zephyr Hills, Florida. And if you've ever been to Zephyr Hills, Florida, it's a retiree community. I am not surprised whatsoever. I kind of laughed. I told my wife when that, basically, they knew in that general area where that lottery winner was that it would come probably somewhere in the area. Now, of course, I've been here in Texas, so I've been buying my Powerball. let me cover this up. My Powerball tickets, because I can't buy Powerball in Hawaii, and it's only this one's only $30 million, so I'll take it. Intel has a prototype of a Thunderbolt flash drive. It's the fastest in the world. It's a 128 gig drive, external flash drive. And boasting transfer speeds of 10 gigabits, or about twice as fast as a USB 3.0 max. Very, very cool. Additional news here today. Hey, fellas, you're cooking with propane, right? And you're like, I wonder how much is left in my propane tank? Well, there's a new device called Truma. It gives your propane tank an ultrasound to find out if it's low. So if you think you're running low on propane, instead of picking it up, you can just put this thing on the side and it can tell you how much propane's actually in the tank. Very, very cool. Have the link up in the show notes. Showcase your summer photos on Rebel Mouse. Jen wrote up an article on Geek News Central talking about this. And let's see if I can flip this over and actually bring it up so we get full color here. There we go. RebelMouse is an aggregator that organizes your online presence into one place to make it easier for other people to find things that you post. It can be used for free by individuals who want to have it to showcase certain things that you post on Facebook, Google+, Instagram, or Twitter. So very, very cool. Check out RebelMouse. I believe it's at rebelmouse.com. Another article over on Geek News Central, Vine comes to Android. So if you are waiting for Vine to come out, you can now grab it. Vine's available on the Android phone. Another article on Geek News Central, Avast cites unsecured Wi-Fi usage as a reason to release a VPN client. So it's kind of interesting that Avast would do this. They've developed what's called SecureLine due to the growing demand from customers. According to the company's chief executive officer, half of PC users in the U.S. access unsecured Wi-Fi hotspots, and about a third of them perform security-sensitive transactions, such as shopping, banking, or anything requiring a password. I use a VPN when I'm traveling exclusively, especially when I'm connected to hotel internet. It's pretty standard here for me to do that as a way to make sure that my data is secure that is leaving the hotel. WebOS is getting a... Whoops, what happened there? WebOS is getting a mandatory system update. So if you have been using, if you've got something WebOS oriented, you're going to get an update so that you can maintain access to the cloud. There's basically a security certificate in there that needs to be updated. And let me check here. Are we still, everything still looks good? Yeah, audio's a little low today going into the streaming system. Don't know why. I'm going to have to check that out. All right, a couple more articles here coming in from, let's see here, what did I just close? Okay, Google Glasses is the ultimate POV action camera. I think we all can agree to that. Still haven't got my order date, but Google's not allowing Google Glass to be in on their shareholder meeting, so kind of a funny situation, dictated by them. They're good for everywhere else, but they don't want them to be used during their shareholder meeting. A couple articles over on Tech Dirt, and my computer's running a little slow here. These bills on unlocking phones. Oh my gosh. It just, first of all, forget it. The Congress has again watered it down so much, it'll probably not happen. They are debating a couple of bills and holding hearings. How difficult is it? Just make a bill, you can unlock your phone. But they got one bill that's moving forward that's pretty weak that probably is not going to do a lot to help us out very much. But, of course, all the lobbyists in there are from the telephone companies not wanting to give this ability to us. So we'll see where this goes. But I'm not don't count your chickens before they hatch on this one. I don't think it's going to happen. Google's got a patent that basically frowns and winks to unlock your phone. So you can wink at your phone, it'll unlock. Or you can do some sort of a face gesture to unlock your phone. That means the camera's on all the time, I would think. I don't know if I want my camera to unlock through a gesture. But it says requiring specific gestures could prevent the existing face unlock facility being fooled by photos. So I didn't even know you could use a picture to unlock your phone. I guess that's something I missed. Hacker exposed evidence of widespread grade tampering in India. Why are you even surprised on this one? Why does this make news? You know, kids in India have to take a test, and it sets them up on where they're going to be put in college and so forth. You know, do they really think that those tests are all fair and there's not some sort of indiscretion going on? The national examination taken by 65,000 12th graders in India is vitally important for each student's future, but some folks were able to download the exam records of nearly every student that took the test, and looking at the data, they found evidence that the grades were changed on a massive scale. So someone's going in probably for money and updating kids' scores. Why am I not shocked? Apple's issued OS X 10 OS X 10.8.4 updates includes iMessage and FaceTime fixes. So if you haven't seen that, you will. Apple is considering to offer trade-in support, a trade-in service for iPhones. The tech giant is said to be developing a trade-in program for iPhones at all of its stores. Makes sense. The used ones are reselling like hotcakes, so they can make money on it twice. Why not, right? I'm not surprised whatsoever. And our final article today, the Xbox One gamepad goes into low-power sleep mode during movies when you step away. So it basically will help you save power. Kids are always recharging batteries for their gamepad right now like crazy. All right, let me go ahead and see what I have in email today. I know that there was some that had came in. And the last show, let me look at the date for the last show. The last show was on Thursday the 30th, so I need to go back a little ways. Got an email here from Neer. He said, "Hey, Todd, I just heard a new term for podcasting space. At least it's new to me. To give credit where it's due, I heard it on the Airline Pilot Guy podcast. Your listening audience may be referred to as podience." Podience. I don't know if I like it. Neer likes it. He says, "I like it. I hope that your podience will continue to grow. All the very best." Well, I hope the podcast audience, the podience will continue to grow. Got an email from Tim that says, "Hey, a judge sided with FBI and ordered Google to hand over customer data. I hope Google flips them the birds and appeals this. What are they paying their lawyers for anyway?" And so again, FBI is getting more data from Google. Got an email from Brian. He says, "Hey, really enjoy listening to your show. You always have the perfect mix of text and related current events. I especially appreciate hearing about bills in Congress and the legal side of things like patent trolls." Brian says, "P.S. It took forever to work through all the past episodes on iTunes, but it was well worth it." Wow, you went through them all? Thanks, Brian. That doesn't happen very often. You actually got good data out of the old ones? Because I usually figure about 14 days and the show goes, you know, the downloads drop because this really doesn't have any super long tail. But thanks for listening. Got an email from Mike who said, "Hey, Todd, on show 863, you complained about your refrigerator filter and how you somehow lost your water filter in a move. He says, we recently got a Berkeley water filter and are really happy with it. It's a very simple gravity-based filter with a top reservoir filling a dispensing reservoir. Just thought you might be interested. Berkeley filters." I'll definitely check it out. But the question is, Mike, how long does that filter last and how much is the replacement? I'll have to do some cost comparison. I got an email from Paul that links me to the Play Store. And, he says, here's his other, "Hey, Todd, just listen to your last podcast. The sound quality levels are now spot on, by the way. And you asked me whether or not I'd like to know more information about various different platforms your show can be listened on to. Personally, I'd like to know the number of smartphone users as a percentage of your overall base, perhaps. I'm going to have to star this one, Paul, and pull that data. I had not done this." He says, "My suggestion that you might have tried already is encourage your listeners to spread the word about the show by telling their friends, neighbors, or anyone they know when they let you know the new listener email address so they can be verified as a new and perhaps as they're being put into some kind of monthly new subscriber competition." Oh, that's a good idea. "I also like to recommend an app, if I may. It's only for the techie football fans that listen, really, but has a 5 million strong Facebook fan base already. It's called Top 11, T11, it's free on Google Play. It's a total immersive football manager simulation game that lets you alter almost every conceivable area of your team. A season lasts a month, so you get daily league games and the ability to upgrade your team during this time. I can't recommend this game highly enough to fans of the pure game. Keep up the great show, Paul." Thanks very much. Got an email from Dale. That was prior show 5:30. Yeah, so that's it. Thanks everybody for being here, and sorry again for no show on Monday. Be back in the studio in Honolulu on Sunday for the new media show. Should be a great one at 9 a.m. Pacific, and of course we'll be back in the studio for next week's two shows, Monday and Thursday here at geeknewscentral.com. Don't forget you can email me, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at geeknews. Our hotline is open all the time at 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you a show, kind of a short one, but a fast one, kind of typical for a road show. Thanks for being here, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha. Aloha.